I did want to welcome the visitors. Glad to see some of you here as well, the crowd as well, and I hope you feel at home. I'd like to take a message from John chapter 4. I read this passage over the last 2 weeks, read it more than once, and thought about this story of Jesus and the woman at the well. I'd like to bring a message from this passage this morning. And also this last week, I read an article in the news that got my attention, got one of my brother's attentions, and he sent it to me, and I said, oh, I'd already read that one. But and I thought about that little news story and made me think about this passage as well. And the story was, the headline said something about, didn't write down the exact headline, but it talked about an individual that was shot and killed for flashing his lights at a police officer. The headline said something like that. And when you read the story, it was a story of a young man. It happened earlier this year, and the officer was just recently cleared of charges in the incident because of a body camera that he had on that cleared him of any wrongdoing. But he pulled this young man over because he had flashed his lights at him. He turned around and pulled him over. And whether the police officer was right or wrong for doing that, I'm not sure. But what the young man did from that point on was wrong. He didn't cooperate at all. He argued, he fought, and eventually he got out of the vehicle and he acted like he was going to comply. And then suddenly he charged the officer and tried to beat him down, and he ended up losing his life, all because he had flashed his lights at an oncoming car because he said he was trying to make him safe. And I just thought about that situation. How could something like that happen? And it's terrible. We say it's terrible, and it is terrible that it could go from something so innocent to someone losing their life. And we could take a lesson from it and warn our youth to always be respectful and always show your driver's license when asked. But as I thought about that situation, I thought of more of a lesson. I started thinking about God as the police officer and us as the motorist driving down the road. And I think there's a lot of lessons to take. And I titled the message, Under Arrest. Under Arrest. One of the things he asked him, the officer, during that encounter, he says, are you detaining me? He said, yes, I am detaining you. I want you to obey. I want you to show me your driver's license. I want you to show me your insurance and your registration. I need to see these things. And he wouldn't do it. He refused to do it. Turn to John chapter 4. This is the story of a lady that was detained by Jesus. Detained for a purpose. And it has a much happier ending than the story that I just told you of this young man. That story all could have ended well if he had listened and did what he was told. This story ended well, even though there were points during the encounter where you can tell that the woman didn't really want to show what she had, but Jesus kept prodding her for it. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 42 and then take a number of lessons from this story. And I think even the children can follow along if you have your Bibles here this morning. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast so well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went away into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all such things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? They went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal, to life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed of his own word. And he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'd like to just look down over this passage and bring out a few different details. In the first couple of verses, you see here that Jesus had been in the southern part, in Judea, and it seemed like the Pharisees started putting him in a baptizing contest with John. They started comparing him and John. Who was baptizing more? And Jesus didn't want to get mixed up in that, so he left. And many of the Jews, when they left, they would have steered clear of Samaria. We read that story in the Good Samaritan, talks about that. But they would have stayed clear of Samaria, because the Samaritans were a mix of the Jews and the prisoners of war that the Syrians had brought in. If you turn back to 2 Kings chapter 17, it gives you a description, and I'd like to read a couple verses there, because it talks about these people that were the Samaritans. And you understand a little bit why the Jews wanted to stay away from them so badly. And yet Jesus, he walked right in among them. 2 Kings 17, verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they knew not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon, now it talks about who made what cities, verse 32, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lust of them priests of the high priests, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. And it just continues to go on and talk about them, what all they did. It is, they keep mixing. They feared God, and yet they feared their own gods. And it says farther down here that they even offered their children. But they made this, they mixed this commandments of God and commandments from their own lands where they had come from. And this was the people that Jesus went to talk to here. So the Jews, they made sure that they stayed away from them. And later on, you remember that there was a time when Jesus spoke to some of the Samaritans and they didn't believe him. And James and John became so upset that they asked Jesus to call down fire on these Samaritans. And Jesus wouldn't do that either. But Jesus did not discriminate. He had no reason to take a longer route. And he knew that all people need a Savior. All people need a Savior. And that gives me a lot of comfort this morning, knowing that no matter what my background is, that Jesus is willing to reach out to me. Each one of us can claim that promise. No matter what background somebody else is, if I show them the power of Christ, Christ can change them. If I'm willing to be used, it's not a waste. It's never a waste of time to reach out to somebody else, because God can change everyone. And you see that here with Jesus' example. Well, they stopped at Jacob's well near the city of Sychar, and the well was fairly deep if you didn't have a rope and a pitcher, some way to get the water up. I think it was around 35 feet deep, about 5 feet of water in the bottom, at least. Who knows what it was then. It's what it was whenever someone more recently went there and looked at the well, a writing I had read about it. But there was no way of getting water out of the well without some kind of instrument. If you did go down to the water, there'd be no way of getting back out. I don't know if it was covered with a stone or not. Jesus sat on the well. Oftentimes, they were covered with a large stone that had to be moved. But the disciples, they left and they went into the city. And while Jesus was sitting there, something unusual happened. Someone came to get water from the well. This was unusual because people didn't usually go get water during the hottest part of the day. They did it in the morning or in the evening. That's when they came and got water. And here comes a woman in the middle of the day. And I'm going to suggest that she came here during this time because she really didn't want to meet up with people. She had quite a reputation. Didn't seem like she could get along with anyone. She had five husbands that she couldn't live with anymore. Kept going through. Man, it tells you a little bit about her character. And yet Jesus was willing to talk with her. And talking a little more about her character, even the rest of the Samaritans later on said, we don't believe Jesus because of what you said to us. We believe Jesus because we heard Jesus ourselves. And I took a little bit from that as well, that they didn't consider her to be of very good morals or trustworthy. Now, was this a coincidence that Jesus met this woman at the well? Was this just a coincidence? Or was it an appointment? I believe that it was an appointment. I believe that it was an arrest that Jesus made. Jesus, when she came, he started to talk to her. And he started to talk to her in a way that she needed to respond. He asked her some questions, and she needed to give an answer. He wanted to know if she would give him water to drink. And several times in this interchange between them, she insulted him or spoke, she challenged him. She insulted him, and she even changed subjects there at the one point to try to get him off the subject. But Jesus was patient. He was gentle. He kept his cool. He didn't let that get the best of him. And that is the Jesus that we know today. It says here that she said, "Why are you asking drink of me? Because I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. You should have came prepared. I'm a woman, you're a man. And I'm the one that's going to have to help you out." Kind of like an insult to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Don't you know that I could give you a gift from God? You would be asking of me." And again, she said, "You can't help yourself. You have, who are you to talk? You don't have anything to draw water out of here. Are you saying that you're greater than Jacob? There was no well here when Jacob came, and he made the well, and now we have water. And now you act like you can get water even as Jacob couldn't. Are you greater than Jacob?" And Jesus said, "No, I have water for you." And he says, "Go and call thy husband." And immediately, she wants to change the subject. She wants to talk about, where's the right place to worship? Do we worship here? Do we worship in Jerusalem? They had built their own temple in a mountain near them, which had been destroyed about 150 years prior. But Herod had built a temple for the Jews. So are we supposed to go down there, or are we supposed to stay here? And Jesus used that opportunity to go right into who he was. He used that opportunity when she tried to change the subject. She tried to put up the smoke screen to keep him away, to go right into what was the real meaning of sacrifice. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I thought that was interesting that came up in our Sunday school. God was not looking for a physical place to come and meet people. And this was her question: where's the right physical place? God's not looking for that. God's looking for a heart, a soul to come and dwell in. God wants to live in our hearts. And when we come to him in sincerity, he will come and enter our hearts and change us. He will give us living water. And this is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus gave the gospel here to this woman in plain, simple terms. He said, if you sincerely surrender to God, both your sinful past and your future worth, you will receive this living water. If you're willing to give up who you were, the sinful past that you have, I am willing to give you this living water. And that's what's so beautiful about what Jesus has to offer us this morning. Doesn't matter what we were or what we will be. We need to give ourselves to Christ. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God that I had to give you, you would be begging it from me. And it's a gift to us this morning. The salvation is a gift. We don't have to feel like we have to live good enough before we can receive it. We need to come just as we are. Well, the disciples came back from their jaunt into the city to look for physical food. And they offered Jesus food. And Jesus said, I don't need food. And they said, who gave you food? And he said, no one gave me food. You don't understand my food. And they were very confused. They had a lot to learn yet about the kingdom of God. But Jesus gave us a real clue about what brings fulfillment in our lives. What really brings us fulfillment? First of all, we talked about giving our lives to Jesus. But Jesus went on to say that real sustenance in life does not come from the food we eat. Jesus said here, it's also more than Bible study. It's more than prayer. It's more than attending church. It's more than that. Finding fulfillment in life is reaching out and giving your life as a sacrifice to other individuals. He went right in and taught them where we get meaning in life, and that is going out and reaping. How much reaping are we doing today? How much are we finding that fulfillment? Maybe that's why we feel restless sometimes. But Jesus said, you're going to go out and you're going to reap where other people have sowed. And you're going to sow where other people reap. And that's something we need to learn as well. A lot of the work we do sometimes seems fruitless. It seems like we're not getting much done. And then there's other times we see God move and work. And we wonder how we get there. Well, that was a work that somebody else did. You want to find meaning in life? We find meaning in life from doing the will of the Father. She didn't find meaning in her water pot anymore. She left it behind. She ran back to the city to tell other people. You see a perfect example of someone that had met the Messiah, that had found that peace in her life. Suddenly, she wanted to go tell other people about this Messiah. She turned into a real evangelist at this time. And many of the people in the city followed her back to see the Messiah, and many of these people were saved. And this passage is a great example for soul winners, and I want to just give you 6 points on soul winning as a challenge this morning. Number one, Jesus refused to argue with the woman. Jesus did not argue with this woman when he met her and talked with her. Secondly, he avoided getting tangled in various theological concepts. It seems so many times when you talk to people, they want to start arguing about who's right or who's wrong or so many different religions, so many different options, instead of talking about the sin problem. We all have a sin problem. We all need an answer for the sin problem. And that's what we need to stay focused on. But Jesus did not belittle her. Number three, Jesus did not belittle her that she was a great sinner. He didn't belittle her for her sin. And too often, as Christians, we look at people that are living in sin and we look at them judgmentally. Say, there's something wrong with them. Forgetting that we ourselves are sinners and have sinned. But Jesus did not belittle her for being a sinner. Number four, he repeatedly spoke of the real and only issue, the living water. He kept saying, but you need the water. You need the water. And that's what we as Christians today need to offer. Instead of belittling someone for their sin or getting tangled in arguments over theology, you know, where did Cain get his wife, or so many different arguments over Old Testament characters and how could this have worked. And you've heard those arguments and people try to disprove Scripture. That's not our focus. Our focus is on something that everyone knows that is real, and that is the sin problem. We all know it's real. No one can ignore it. I like to ask people sometimes, so what do you do with your guilt? People don't deny that they have guilt. We need to offer them the living water. And he concluded with the most important. He pointed her to himself. Number five, we need to conclude with the most important, pointing people to the solution of the problem. And the sixth teaching, which I already mentioned, for soul winners in this passage, is that we reap where other people sow, and other people reap where we sow. We're part of God's kingdom, and God is ultimately the one that does the reaping. We are used in his hand. We need to be ready to be used of God. The story is a woman who was under God's arrest. She was living in sin. She was headed to eternal destruction, eternal separations from God. But God sent his son to die for people like this. God sent his son to die for people like us. And God continually puts us under that same arrest. And God does it in a lot of different ways. And I found out that even after I've been a Christian, God does the same thing in a lot of different ways. He continually stops us in what we're doing and says, why are you doing this? And many times, even like the young man that tried to excuse why he had flashed his high beams at somebody, because he wanted to make the road more safe. We do the same thing. We say, but God, it's not wrong for us to do this. This wasn't particularly wrong. I can get away with this. It doesn't really say it's right or wrong. And God has to say, yeah, but that's a distraction from the spiritual life that I want you to live. That's a distraction from the work that I want you to do. And sometimes, even if we feel like we've given and given and given, God still asks for more. God still asks for more beyond that. I feel like I've been having some of those times in my own life. Maybe that's why I talked about this. And so I'll give this little situation as a prayer request this morning. I find myself in a situation where there's a discrepancy on a property line, and two different people claim the same property, claim the same trees that were on the line. And I wasn't there to make the decision. I left some of my employees make the decision which would be which between them and the property owner. Well, suddenly, when there's an argument over what's what, everybody else runs away. Why does God let us find those things, into those things? Well, I think that God wants to bring some good out of our lives. That's why He allows us. Why do things break when you don't have any money? Why do things go wrong when you don't have any resources? Because God wants us to trust in something beyond our own selves. God wants to trust in something beyond our own resources. It would always be nice if money wasn't a problem. I'd just gladly pay for the trees, even if they weren't mine, right? Even if they were mine, I'd gladly pay for them either way. If you think they're yours, how about if they ask several times what the trees are really worth and they take you to court over it? Then you have to decide, what are you going to do? Why is God putting us under arrest? What does He want from us? God wants surrender to Himself, both of our sinful past and of our future worth. That's what God wants from us. So even if we have answered the call of surrender in our past, God will answer us this call of surrender again and again and again. I don't know what it is in your life. I would probably think it's not much. And the things that I share, you probably wouldn't think are a whole lot. But the answer is to do the same thing about it. And that is, give it to God. I'm going to ask for your testimonies after our prayer. I don't have Tim here to give closing comments, so we'll have a prayer and a song, and then I'll give time for some of you to share some testimonies of what God's doing in your life. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pause before you in this moment, and we thank you for being God. We thank you for being the eternal one, the one who has forever been here, the one who forever will be here. Thank you, Lord, for not changing. Thank you for being constant. Thank you that your laws, your truth, does not change, that we can always depend on what you say, that you will not change and suddenly require something different of us, but you always require the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus as a perfect example of someone who was willing to die for us, willing to give his own life. And your Lord, yet even today, he is before you making intercession for us. Thank you, Lord, for this perfect example. Father, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts, continue to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the story of this woman at the well. Thank you, Lord, that Even though she was extremely sinful, extremely dirty, you cleaned her up. You made her right again. Father, I pray that you do that to each one of us this morning. And I pray that you would help us to be willing to allow you to do that in our lives. It seems like there's so many ways that the devil trips us up, so many different ways that we can sin, that we can do wrong. Yet, Lord, we thank you that there is one way to find forgiveness, and that is through you. And thank you, Lord, for the power that you give in our lives, that we do not have to say yes to sin, that we do not have to give in to our desires of the old man, but that we can reflect on what you have done and be changed by it and go forth living like Jesus has. So thank you, Lord, for this power in our life. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin, draws us to you, that encourages us, that helps us to understand your word. And I pray, Lord, that he could be real in the lives of each one here. So I pray for those that are not completely surrendered to you, those of us who are not completely surrendered. And I pray that you'd help us to be that way. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing those that do surrender. Father, help us with this life and the struggles that completely fight against us, the struggles to find our daily food, to clothe ourselves, to have a warm place to live, and all those things. Seems like it can be a struggle to live. Father, I just pray that you would help us to accept where you have placed us, not become bitter with the challenges that we face, but help us to be a brotherhood that cares and that loves and that reaches out. And I pray that you'd help us to learn from the examples in the story to reach out, to share what we have with those who do not know. So bless us, Lord, and make us a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.